Blog Talk Radio.
Anyone charged with a criminal matter has the right to have their case heard before a judge or judicial officer of the court is entitled to a fair and public hearing by a competent, independent and impartial court. Have strict court rules enforced such as the right of reply, rules of evidence, and be found innocent or guilty beyond reasonable doubt. Yet, our most vulnerable can have their rights, assets, and decision-making rights removed by a public servant of the state, not a judge, in a tribunal setting that can ignore evidence and facts and determine matters as they see fit and conclude matters based on probabilities alone. Are you scared yet?
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. Tonight is our show from Australia. We're working closely with the Australians who are dealing with the same things there that we are dealing with here, and we're finding out they are doing globally. This is a global culling of the elderly. But before they actually take you out, they want to take all your stuff, too, in most cases. This system is in place. It is the same system country to country. There might be slight variances in legal terminology or how the agencies are set up, what terms are used to describe the people doing this, but it is the same thing. It is a global effort to get rid of as many of the elderly as they can. This is nothing but government-sanctioned homicide. We have people being killed left and right in hospice here. Being guardianized by hospitals and they end up dead. They're even doing this in some cases to children. We are under attack from our own governments the way I see it. And many of us are targeted and marked for basically execution, if not just plain obliteration. With that in mind, we have a guest this evening coming on who this last December lost her mother. And this has got to be one of those hospital-related stories that'll absolutely stand your hair on end. I know for myself, I've gotten to where I absolutely will not go to the doctor. Nobody is putting me in the hospital for nothing. I don't care if my head falls off and rolls down the sidewalk. Sew it back on for me. I'll keep rolling. I am not going to the hospital. It is a dangerous, dangerous place for an elderly person to be. I don't care where you are or where you live. You are in a very vulnerable position, and I don't care what kind of legal instruments you have in place that you think will protect that person. It ain't so. They will discard them, act as if they never existed, and hand all that over to a total stranger who supposedly knows better than the family what should happen with that person. So our guest tonight is Therese, and she is, I say, from Australia. So Therese, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Marty, for giving me the opportunity.
You bet. I'm glad you were available to come on. For everybody who's just tuning in, and by the way, we have a full board, and it looks like half of Australia is tuned in this evening. Thank you all so much for your support. But, Therese, give us a little bit of background, as much as you're able, because I know this is involved in some litigation, some other things that have happened, of what happened here. What took place here that precipitated all of this?
Okay, my poor elderly mother, she went in on September the 3rd, 2019, for a simple gastrovirus. After that, say 3 weeks later, she was getting better and my brother was ready to get her out. Then all of a sudden he noticed, what's wrong with Mum? You know, she looks very lethargic and so forth. Then there was a particular doctor that was dealing with her. This, we're talking Gold Coast location. It's all I'll say for now, but I'm sure a lot of people already know where I'm talking about. But so we sort of approached him and said to him, look, what's going on with Mum? Why is she so lethargic? You know, she was getting better, ready to leave the hospital. So this horrible criminal of a doctor, I have to say, turns around and says to us, oh, don't worry, she'll be fine, don't worry. But, you know, if she dies, we're going to let her die. Like, we're basically not going to resuscitate. Do you know how shocked we were? I'm telling you, Marty, I was ready to knock this guy out, but I thought, no, all they're going to do is come and take me and put me away. So then he kept on going. My brother was asking him questions like, but do you realize you can't do this? This is our mother. It's up to us what we do. It's up to her. She wants to live. And this stupid doctor turns around and says, you don't like it? Take me to court. And now I understand why he said take me to court, because this is something that has been repeated so many times. He goes, go and do what's it called, the Ryan's rule. Okay, no problems. We thought, why is this guy so calm, cool and collected, so to speak? And we know why, because this has been done so many times. So what we did the Ryan's rule, blah, 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 and then
what
basically
is, okay,
started.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Oh, sorry.
What is the Ryan's? Yeah, what is the Ryan's rule? Yeah. And I'm already getting people here from the States that are saying, ask her to slow down. Y'all talk so much faster than
sorry.
We do. And
I do apologize. I'm so hyped up.
No, that's all right. Okay. That's all right. But what is Ryan's rule?
Okay. I have never heard of it before, but apparently the way it works is you dial a number, which is all really connected to the hospital. So one hand sort of, you know, shapes the other hand, if you know what I mean. So then what happens is a nurse through the hospital, who's supposed to be impartial, mind you, sits down with us and says, what's the problem? What can we do to fix it? So we sit down the first time with this particular person and said, look, this doctor is literally trying to kill our mother and we don't want her in his hands. We want another doctor to attend to her. So then they said, okay, we'll get some other doctor. As soon as they put in another doctor, this other doctor immediately put her on a machine and gave her the medication, because the doctor that was trying to end her life had taken away the most crucial medication that she was on, like the blood pressure, the dementia tablet and her heart tablet. No wonder my poor darling mother was deteriorating. So he did that straight away. Things were not bad. Then things started again and again. We said, look, Mum needs to see other doctors. You know, she needs to be attended to. So she kept on deteriorating. Now, the whole thing about this entire story is this. My brother and myself were fighting to get our mother out of this hospital. We sat down with the executives, we sat down with the head doctors and said, look, if you guys cannot attend to our mother's needs, please let us take her somewhere else. So they did not want to do that. We had a big meeting with the executives at one time. We're sitting there with them and we said to them, you know, we're going to take our mother out of the hospital. You know, we've decided and it's up to us. You can't stop us from doing so. And then they started sort of arguing with us and saying, no, you can't do that and all this sort of rubbish. And then we said, no, we are going to do it. And then my brother turned around and I know that pissed them off, but hey, I'm sure they're used to it, basically turning around and said, well, look, you know, if our mother dies, which I don't blame him, I would be the same. Of course, you know, we're going to sue you. Like, let us have our mother.
Yes.
That's all we wanted to do. So they went away, Marty. They went away for 2 hours, came back with an interim order for a public guardian. Oh, my God. I tell you, I nearly fainted. I was so angry. My brother was like, what the hell is going on here? We said, how dare you do that? This is our mother. She has got her children. She has got her grandchildren. How dare you? And you know why they did all this? This is how the game works over here in Australia. They get the public guardian onto them because they were determined to end my mum's life, of which they did at the end. So that's what it was all about. So we were fighting them, and they wanted to stop us from that weekend in taking Mum out of the hospital, because legally we had the right to take her out of the hospital. So they literally blocked us. Since all this started, we were, oh my God, harassed, intimidated, threatened, up to 4 to 6 security guards. That whole ward, Marty, was locked up since my poor mother was in that ward. They try to make out that we are criminals, but hello, They are the criminals.
Yeah.
They took my mum's life.
They do the same thing here when they isolate an elderly person and they claim that for some reason the family is a threat to them. And what it is they're trying to hide what they're doing to that person, the withholding of food and water, the massive drugging that goes on, and they usually just leave them lay. They don't do much for them. And then if you do get any visitation at all, the estate is forced to pay for an armed guard, usually a sheriff's deputy, and a nurse to be in the room with you because you might hurt that elderly person when in fact it's them doing it. They do the same thing. It's all about intimidation, threatening. And then they try to say later on, we had to have an armed guard in there because we were so fearful of them being alone. They might have hurt them. And you're fighting with everything you've got, trying to save mm-hmm. them from these same people. You know, so it goes on here too. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're right. Do you know how horrified it is? Like, I can't even believe that I'm actually containing myself at the moment. Like, when I'm on my own, I'm in tears because I still can't believe that my mum, you know, has gone, because we fought, tried to get her out. And these horrible executives, doctors, nurses, everybody who was involved, all they wanted to do is keep us out from seeing mum. I was allowed before this sort of schmoggle started with them. I stayed with mum for 2 weeks, and honestly, Marty, she was getting so much better just having me next to her. I was in there with her in her room,
yes.
You know, being with her and just trying to talk, and they were drugging her and they didn't want me to see what was going on. So then they made up some BS about me that I'm creating trouble. And you know one thing about me, Marty, when someone lies about me, oh my God, good luck to them. I will not take bullshit from anybody, excuse my French, but that's basically how it was. So then they got rid of me out of the hospital. They said to us, you've got an hour to leave the hospital. And then they had 6 security guards. This is what happened initially, right? So then I must admit, look, I tried to show that I'm tough, but I was a bit terrified because I sat in the room and I called 000. I said, listen, what's going on in this hospital? They're trying to kill my mother and they are telling us we need to get out of the hospital or they're going to use force onto us. So what happened in that situation the day they were kicking us out of the hospital, 000 took my call, and then came the security time, 2:00. They came up to us, my brother and myself, you have to leave the hospital. And I said to my brother, you know what, you go, I'm not going nowhere, I'm staying here, they can arrest me, do whatever they want with me. Because they said, if you don't leave by 2:00, we're not going to allow you to come back into our hospital. Okay, like children's games, we were getting all this bullshit, behavioural letters and so forth, absolute garbage. And I told them that to their face. This is total BS and you guys know it. And for now you have the power because you are utilizing your power to destroy people. That's all you're doing. So then whilst my brother was walking out before 2:00, the police came. But the police came because I called the police, not them. So they tried to reverse the role and say, we called. I said, no, I did. Now, in order to try and do the right thing, I listened to the police officers. They said, look, I'm sorry. We don't want to have to arrest you. This is how ridiculous it is. Instead of really listening and saying, why is this woman complaining about her mother? Her mother, look, if she's in danger, we should be doing something. They got me out of the hospital, but I went myself without any hesitation. Then we go downstairs and the police officer comes up and says to us, oh, you know, because you didn't leave at 2:00, you cannot go back and see your mother. So we hardly were allowed to see my mother out of that. Every week, behavioural rubbish letters, and which I did reply to, I said, this is absolute BS. It's absolutely disgusting. You people should be damn well ashamed of yourselves. People are not stupid. People are onto you, what you guys are doing. And this went on and on and on. Now, at the end of it, when Mum died on the 7th of December, we got a call in the morning, mind you, and they knew what was happening because, sorry if I'm going too fast, I'll slow down. I get really upset. Sorry, I do apologize.
I know, honey, and I'm getting more messages to ask you to please slow down. I know you have a lot to say, honey, but it's okay. It's okay. We got time.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Just take a breath and slow down and take your time because we've got time.
Thank you. So what happened that particular week before they took my mum's life, of which they did, there was this horrible nurse. Honestly, she was worse than Hitler. She kept on coming in there and saying to us, your mum's going to die today. Your mum's going to die today. And I thought, what the hell are you talking about? How dare you talk in front of my mother? Although my mother, you've got her drugged out and she's unconscious, she can still hear you. Do you know what I mean? And she kept
yes.
on doing it. So then
yes.
it was just horrible. So we'd go come up and down and my brother and I would say, you know, something's going to happen, something's going to happen, because they wouldn't let us go see our mother. And then later on in that week, it was a day actually before, we went to see mum. Oh, you have got 1 hour to see your mother. I'm thinking you people are bloody disgusting. Anyway, what happened with her on that particular day is that the nurse comes in and says again to me, you know, your mother is going to die this week. I said, look, we believe in God and we have faith. Our mother's not going to die. If anything, you guys are going to kill my mother. And I always said that to these people. I said, yous are drugging her. Yous are the ones that are killing her. We are not stupid. You're just utilizing your evil power to get rid of my innocent mother who does not deserve to die. So then I went into a room and I said to this nurse, very politely and nicely, I said, I'd like to have a chat with you if you don't mind. She said, what's it about? Because I shouldn't be talking to you. Because all the nurses were getting all information from the executives. Oh, be careful. Don't let them see this. Don't let them do this, blah, blah. Pretending we're the criminals, blah, blah. And it was just disgusting. So then I sat down with her. She goes, oh, have you got a recording or anything? I said, I don't need a recording, okay? I want to sit here with you and I want to have a chat if you don't mind. She goes, what is it, Therese? I said, I'm sick of you sitting down in front of my mother all the time saying she's going to die. My mum is not going to die. The only time she will die is if you guys drug her. Use will kill her. She goes, no, she's old and all this sort of stuff. I said, no, you can say whatever you want, but I know for a fact what you guys have been doing. You want to get rid of my mum because, first of all, we said this particular doctor in the beginning who was attending to my mum was preparing her for death because apparently he's the end-of-life doctor for that particular hospital. And she said, no, Therese, it's not that because she's old. I said, she's not old. She came in with a simple gastrovirus. That's all it was. And yous won't let her go. We tried 5 times, and it was all in writing, Marty, to get her out of that hospital. The other hospital would accept. The minute they ring this hospital on the Gold Coast, they will write some BS on it so they don't accept my mother. They were determined to kill my mum. Then we left it as that. We went home. And then my brother and I sat down. I said, you know what? We've got really bad feelings here. What was it? 6 o'clock in the morning on the 7th of December, we get a call. Your mother has just passed. We were expecting it, but we were still thought that mum will come out. And so we went into the hospital. My brother had, because I'm in Brisbane, he's on the Gold Coast, and he went in there, and I think he was talking to police and detectives and so forth. And then I was starting to walk towards my mum's room. There was police and the security guards and nurses and everything.
Yes.
And then one idiot stands in front of me, dares to tell me I can't go in. Oh, my God. I thought, no way. And I just told him to get out of my way. And I swear I was ready to deck him because I was so furious. But then the nurse told him to move. We go into the room. Then everybody's coming in. There's two police officers there who are already there. And then the nurses and the others, I said, no, the rest of you, get the hell out of this room. You've done enough. Get out now, and I mean it. So the police officers were fine. One of the nurses says, look, I need to stay. I said, fine, you can stay, but everyone get the hell out of the room right now. I don't want to talk to anybody else. So then the shock of the whole thing, they listen to this. This is really interesting, okay? Now, the reason they got the public guardian is in order for them to work in with the hospital, social workers or whatever, so they can end my mother's life. The way they look at things here, and we know it's monetary-wise, is the fact that this woman is old. Well, that's not your, it's not your choice to kill someone else's mother or father or anyone. So the nurse says to us, oh, Therese, you don't have to worry because I was with your mother when she took her last breath. Oh, my God. I thought, are you serious? You were with my mother. You could have saved her. You could have done something. She said, but I have instructions from the public guardians and from the hospital and doctors that I'm not to resuscitate. I said, what's this got to even to do with resuscitate? You could have saved her life. So there you go. If that's not called killing someone, well, I'm a fool. So that's what they did to her. They let her go.
Yeah.
They let her go. They prepared her. And not just that. We knew that 2 days before, they said, because they were feeding her through the tube and she was always coughing up, and they shouldn't have done it that way. See, my brother was always on to them in what medication to give, what to do. They didn't like that because he knew exactly what he's talking about. They wanted to do their own thing. We said to them, stop giving her the damn morphine. Stop giving her the fentanyl. Stop giving her, what the hell's that other one? Sorry, I can't remember. But all these drugs that knock her out, because she was like in a coma state. She was trying to talk to us.
Yes.
So then they said, we weren't. But she said to us, she said, you know what else we did? We also stopped her actual medication. I said, so you also killed her. And the police were there recording everything. I said, you guys murdered our mother. That is the truth. I don't care what anyone says out there. The way they all cover up for each other is the biggest load of garbage I've ever seen in my life. I went to so many government entities to help me please save my mum. I took it upon myself to do like these videos because the shock of everything just pushed me. I didn't even think about it. I just went in there and did what I felt. That's all I wanted. And then the stupidest part of this whole thing, but the media, instead of the media being there, bringing out the truth, they're scared. I'm sorry, but why have a media if you cannot bring out the truth? It's bloody useless. I called 000 twice, Marty. I went to two state police stations, one in Logan and one on the Gold Coast, and I complained and I said, please, I beg you, help us get our mother out of that hospital. They are killing her. No one would listen, and I wonder why. And I said to them, it's on your head when my mum dies because they will kill her. And I was right. Sorry.
Well, Therese, that's all right. Take a breath here, honey. Take a breath and just try to calm down. You know, they do the same thing here. It's a system. They're being paid to do this. They're making money to do this. And this was a public hospital, and even private hospitals are getting in on the game now too. Like out in the state of Virginia, patients in hospitals out there just lost any rights to make their own medical decisions statewide. They just passed a law. This is starting to happen all across the country. I talk to a lot of elderly people here who talk about it, and like me, they won't go to the doctor. They absolutely refuse to go to the hospital. They're all using what are called hospitalists. These are on-duty doctors that work only at the hospital. They don't work in private practice. They won't allow your family doctor to come in and see you. They don't look at your file. They make some determination, and you're gone. You're gone. Exactly. You have no rights. You lose all of your rights to make to self-determination what you want. And so, but what we're finding is we deal with these other countries. Like I say, it's the same system in place, but there is already money being paid under various titles and programs in this net, but they're actually getting kickbacks for doing this and getting rid of as many of the elderly as they can. And I think if you look into this particular situation in this hospital, you're going to find they're getting all sorts of federal and state funding to do just exactly what happened here. We find these money trails all the time. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I know other people also who've dealt with this particular hospital have had the same problems as well. So honestly, the only way we can beat these bastards, excuse me if I swore, but I'm telling you, there's so much aggression that I've got in me. I'm trying to remain a lady. I'm trying to remain nice, but these people took my mother from us, okay? She did not need to die now. She was not ready to die. My mum before, when she was under this coma stuff, she said to us, and also, she said, Therese, please, I want to live. I want to live. So I can't forget what she said to me. I used to say to her, Mum, when you come home, I'm going to make your favorite foods and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And not just that, Marty, sorry if I interrupted you, but that when we were going through all this thing about the resuscitation and so forth, right, we even got it from the doctors, from the hospital to say that we are her guardians, that we make the decision about the resuscitation. So putting it in writing is like toilet paper. It meant absolutely nothing. They did not give a damn. They were determined to get rid of my mum because we said initially that, you know, if our mother dies, we are going to sue you, you know. And this doctor of yours has committed negligence. And this is happening all the time. And I believe this doctor has committed this quite a few times. So it's just an ongoing thing. And the only way we're going to beat these bastards, all I can say, is we have to stick together. Because I look at it this way, Marty. I know these people have got power. They've got money. They're strong, but they're evil. There's more of us than there is of them. You know, this is not just about my mother, anyone else. It's everybody. It's about us as we get older.
Yes.
We are all
I've got some commenting coming in here, and I'm not going to say from who, but it says Gold Coast Hospital is a killer hospital. There are many, many victims of this particular hospital, and people need to be warned, and you can't sue the doctors. They have it worked out. And I'm getting comments like that all over the place. People know about this hospital. And I would warn people, like I say, our board is full of Australians this evening. Be forewarned. Stay out of this hospital. Stay away from it. This is a place to go, apparently, to be suicided. I just got another thing here, too, about the social workers. We have that same thing here. If an elderly goes in the hospital, a social worker will just show up just to talk to them, just to see if they're okay. And even if you tell them to leave the room, you don't want their services, you don't want to talk to them, they'll go write up a fake report and say shows signs of abuse. And then, of course, we have a guardian on speed dial. Yeah. And they write up these phony reports that are never questioned. They're never proven. There's no anything. They just simply write them up as though they actually did interview you, when in most cases they did not. And they say, well, we saw signs of abuse. Well, the way she was sitting or the way he acted, he acted like he was scared. And I wondered what he was scared of. And I think there's been abuse at home. And I observed, but no evidence of any of these observances. And then, like I say, they got the guardian on speed dial and they kicked the whole system into gear. And none of this is ever questioned in these tribunals. They're never asked for evidence. They never produce any evidence. So basically, it's hearsay. And
you finished. Okay. You mentioned the tribunal.
Yes. See, right, we have them here. We have them here. They're called probate courts, but they are in fact civil tribunals. And when you get that designation as ward of the state, you suffer what's called a civil death, equal in its consequences to a natural death. You lose your identity, you lose all of your rights, you lose all of the rights to make any decisions, any rights of association, where you live. What happens, you can't access your own money. They make themselves the assigned payee on everything, like your Social Security or maybe a railroad or a veteran's pension. They collect all that money. They sell your property, claim they need it for your care, and they sell it to a good friend for pennies on the dollar, get the title to it, flip it, and make a fortune off of it. And then they move you to some hole that they call a nursing home and say the money's run out. Because you just bought you a new BMW and a new house, you ass. And
it's all, we'll get along well. Fine, I'm ready. I don't really care as far as I'm concerned. As long as you tell the truth, you've got nothing to hide. And this is where a lot of people are like, they don't understand what is going on. I understand that, because they haven't been through this situation. But as long as you say the truth, you've got freedom of speech. No one can shut you up. They've tried to shut me up a few times. If you don't do this, we're going to do this and blah, blah, blah. I said, listen, I'm telling the truth. Maybe if you didn't, you know, end my mum's life, I wouldn't be doing these videos, would I? So why the hell would I want to stop? All I was doing is reaching out to someone to help me. I was desperate, Marty. I'm reaching out to the Prime Minister. I'm reaching this and this. And then at the end of all this rubbish, no one did nothing for me. Nothing. And then, we went and had, the tribunal in order to remove their so-called, my mum's so-called guardians, who, you know, were there for the wrong reason, to end her life, not to protect her. And then the day that we went there, oh my goodness, as soon as we walked in there, we thought, hey, this is already premeditated BS. These guys are not going to give us our mum back. They wouldn't even listen to it. They don't even let you talk and say what you feel. It's all premeditated garbage. Plus, listen to this. They try to make out as though they're scared of us. And I was just like, are you serious? These people are really very, very good at their jobs. They're all talking on the phone. And they are like, this is A talking, this is B talking, this is Z talking. What on earth? Because we don't want to show their identity. We said we don't really give a damn who they are, but we already know who they are. So it was a waste of time, yeah. Basically. They still gave my mum to the public guardian so they could end her life. They did exactly what they wanted from the beginning. Mum was there from September the 3rd to December the 7th when they ended her life. And all this time, I wrote into the health ombudsman. I wrote him, send him everything, blah, blah, blah. And what a waste of bloody time that was. And I told him on the phone, I said, you're a waste of time because all you do is scratch each other's back. And this is all corruption throughout the entire country, throughout globally. There's so much corruption.
Yes.
How dare you be part of all this rubbish?
Yes.
So, yeah,
and I agree with you.
We have to fight these people.
Yes.
Sorry,
and you try to warn people, Therese. That's all right. You try to warn people. You know, I mean, I've been at this going on 12 years. We're going to start our 12th year in June. And, and we still have people say, well, you must have done something wrong or they wouldn't have done that.
Yes.
Well,
mm-hmm.
there had to have been something else, otherwise they wouldn't have. No, that wasn't it at all. They get a kickback for doing this. And they get to plunder the estate. And then they make the estate pay the predators, pay their fees and charges and all this stuff, which I think is one of the most insidious things I have ever seen created in this so-called judicial system, is you target someone for no other reason than they have assets you want, and then you force that estate to pay you for coming after them. Excuse me? And then they get to decide whether you live or die. You always die just as soon as the last dollar is taken and the last piece of property is flipped. And in many cases, we had, she's still running up in Detroit, a particular predator up there. She's doing it by volume. Instead of just going after high profile, you know, valuable estates. She's got now over 1,700 wards that she is taking their Social Security. She is taking, if any of them are getting Social Security and or VA retirement and or a railroad pension, anything like that, she makes herself the assignee, you know, the payee on everything. And she's supposedly managing their money. She then installs them in a residential home that she owns. She has them all over Detroit. They've never been inspected.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives them $44 a month out of their own money. That's all they see. Starves them half to death. Has left them in the winter in Detroit with no heat. And here, year before last, one of these homes caught fire and five of her wards burned to death. She was never charged with anything. But think about this, 1,700 wards, 1,700 people whose lives had been stolen, their identity, their any income they had, and their warehouse starved half to death, left to freeze in the winter, and nobody can do anything. She gets more wards all the time.
Yeah,
and
because it's
Caribbean
true, you know.
Yeah.
That's really
but
disgusting.
They want rid-
we honestly have to get together.
Yeah, how could you, even if you had six clients, you know, that would be difficult to manage the affairs of six clients. But the fact is, she never saw any of them. And of those five people that burnt to death, she had only ever in person seen one. And many states don't require them to see them except maybe once every 2 years. Some states, it's once every 3 months. How do you manage someone's affairs and their health if you're not in contact with if you're not seeing them.
It's all money, isn't it?
It's all money.
It's all money.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You know, our lives mean nothing to people like that. So we honestly, unless we sort of stick together, and we can do it, you know, with the right people. Like,
yes.
Like since what I've done, my videos and stuff, you know, ASCA have come across, thank goodness, and they've been very, very supportive. So I thank them very, very much. And everyone else has been very supportive because, to be honest, that's the only support that I have been getting, and that really means a lot to me. And, I'm willing to do whatever we have to do legally, obviously. At least we're doing things properly and legally, not like the so-called people that are in Parliament and what have you. They're doing the opposite to what we're doing. We're trying to do things properly, and we can beat them because it's called people power. I mean, I don't want to talk rubbish, but it's people power. There's more of us than them. So... I feel like every night I go to sleep, Marty, honestly, I wake up, I feel like I've been in a nightmare and I can't believe what's actually happening here. Like when it was happening to my mum, I thought, what's going on? And then when Asuka got a hold of me and said to me, this is what's going on, it's global, I said, oh, my God. And I believed
yes.
it. I'm not the sort of person that just follows people, because this is what other people said
yeah.
to me, oh, you're just following. I said, no. I'm a very independent, intelligent woman when I want to be. I follow what I believe in. And I know for a fact this
yes.
is happening. It's happened to my mum. And you know what? 9 years ago, it happened to my father as well. But we didn't realise it at that
Lord.
Stage. We'd seen him in hospital.
Yeah.
7 hours beforehand, he was totally drugged out. 7 hours later, we get a call. Oh, your father has died. Oh, my gosh. And we didn't resuscitate. So the same old BS is going around and around, and it will never stop until we do something. We have to do something really huge in order to shut these bastards down. That's it.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, Therese, it is about depopulation. And when I spoke at the summit this last year, one of the things I made reference to, which I know people are tired of, but the particular point I made was that the one thing all of these governments learned from Hitler and the Nazis, the last thing you want to do is go out there and leave a big bloody mess that everybody can see. So, but we're doing the same thing they did. We're getting rid of anybody who they have determined is no longer productive, whose wages cannot be taxed, who you know are not actively in the employment market. You know what I'm saying? They are not providing anything to the powers that be. They can't be exploited anymore. And so they've decided they need rid of all these people. And they're doing it the same way. They're getting, honey, they're passing bills here making it legal for them to starve the people that are mentally ill and those with dementia to death. And and this is passing, and while people keep screaming at me, we're a Christian nation, we're a Christian nation. Yeah, you a bunch of Christians, all right. But go ahead.
Bloody hypocrites. Yeah, total hypocrites, exactly. I agree with you totally. Action speaks louder than words, that's all I can tell you. I mean, it'd been like, you know, I'd like to help work with ASCA, work with whoever, honestly, because one cannot do things on their own. It has to be done in a group. It's got to be done in a very big group that you can get results.
Yes.
Like, you know, you can give me my email address. People can send me their, you know, it's Therese1@hotmail.com, if I'm allowed to say that. So it's just Therese1@hotmail.com, And then we really all need to work together. We need to go and basically see, okay, that particular hospital, or who has that happened to? That other hospital, who has that happened to? And the aged care. Because their intention was either kill mum or take her off us and put her into aged care so they can kill her then. My brother was looking after her for nearly 9 years, okay? And he was looking after her very well. He knew medications. He knew everything. He looked after 110%. There was no need for these horrible Nazis to take our mother away from us. Goes in with gastro and goes out in a box. What the hell?
Yeah.
We haven't even buried her yet. We're doing the funeral in 2 weeks, so, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I'm so sorry.
I just don't know. Like, you know how I feel? Sometimes I sit in a corner and I feel like I've let my mum down because I should have fought harder. I should have just got the cops to put me away just so I can get her out of that room. I actually, they had to call police a couple of times because I didn't want to leave my mum's ward. And, you know, obviously the police weren't going to take me in because they knew what was going on. But for goodness sake, I mean, there's a law and there's a law. If someone's calling you twice on 000, someone's coming into your offices twice, what the hell does that mean? I'm desperate.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you, save my mother. What is wrong with you people? I mean, the law has to work for us, not for the criminals.
Yes, but it's working for the criminals. They've got it set up. You know, they do. They have it set up so that you can't win. You can't win. The law is written in ways, I keep telling people all the time, you know, pay attention. Pay attention. What you think is going on and what is actually going on is two different things. Here, you can't get the police to do anything either. The only times that has been effective is when people have revoked hospice who still had the right to do it. They've revoked hospice, and then they'll call the police in and an ambulance and have that person taken out and taken to another hospital or taken to a hospital. And many of these people revive. But the drugs you're talking about using, I'm going to be having a man coming on the show here. He sent me the manuscript of his book he has coming out about the drugs they're using on the elderly to kill them. And fentanyl, morphine, Zyprexa in particular. And what they do, like in my sister's case, they immediately draw. They have now globally redefined food and water not as human necessities. And you're going to find this in your law if you look for it. But as medical treatment. So when they call futility of care, the first thing they do is pull food and water. After 4 days without water, you start hallucinating. Your body's dehydrated so bad. They won't put a PICC line in. They say, oh, we can't give them water because they've forgotten how to swallow. Well, try not giving
them that next load of morphine.
Yeah, yes. Try not giving
That's
them
exactly
that.
What
and that,
to my
that
mom.
Will. It's not that they forgot how to swallow. It's that the drugs they are giving them have stopped the reflexive action of your lungs, of your ability, your natural reflex to swallow. The drugs stop that. They deaden that. And it isn't that they forgot how to. You drugged them to the point where they can't. But even if this was true, this sickening statement, they forgot how to swallow. Why didn't you put a hydration PICC line in? Why are you?
You know, you're
them?
Right, Marnie.
Now, like I say,
exactly, yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
That's exactly what they did to Mum. Exactly. We could not believe, why on earth can't she swallow? What is going on? You know, I'm so angry at myself that I was so stupid. I really feel so bloody angry that. Oh, God, I can't believe it, that we let them kill our mother. I just can't get over that.
No, you did. And see, and we hear this from a lot of, like, families. Marcia Joyner, who does the show on hospice here, which I believe is quality aged care, they call it there. Same system. And it was developed from what was called, and is still in operation in England, the pathway system, which was the test run for this. The first year they killed 1,300 elderly people using this. And then this last year they killed over 32,000. It's all based on the pathway system, and it is a pathway to death. And we hear all the time from families saying, they were killing my mom, my dad, my husband, my wife, right in front of me. And I didn't realize what they were doing until it was over. And they come in and they want you to leave the room when they give medication. And no,
That's
I'll stay right here. And And then what they will do towards the end is roll them up on their side, because the morphine, the amount of morphine along with the Zyprexa or Haldol or Seroquel, whatever they're mixing it with, fentanyl, is preventing the lungs from functioning the way they're supposed to. They're, again, that reflexive action. So they'll roll them up on their side and say, we have to get them on their side, you know, so they don't get bed sores. There ain't a chance in hell they're going to get bed sores because they're killing them. And what that does is it compresses the lungs. and it's also quite painful, but they cannot cry out because they've got them drugged up so bad. And so when they, and this is called palliative care, they say it's pain management. It's stealth euthanasia is what it is. We are in front of you, right in front of you, murdering your family member, whomever it is. And there's not a damn thing you can do. And they, and the other thing they do, Therese, is they go to the elderly person while they're still conscious, and they say things to them like, you've had a long life. You need to let go. Don't put your family through this. Why would you want to put your family through this? You know how this is going to turn out. Then they go to the family and they say, they've had a long life. You need to let them go. You don't want them to suffer, do you? Do you? Let us help them. They're going to die anyway. Let us help them along so that they don't suffer. And they play back and forth like this all the time. One of the questions I asked recently, after a very snotty remark by a hospice worker on one of my lines, I said, how is it that you spend your day causing pain, misery, and the eventual death of other human beings, and then go home to your family as if nothing happened? What the hell's wrong with you? And what bothers me is that there are so many of these people willing to participate in this. And some of them seem to actually enjoy it. They'll mock the family members. They'll make fun of them. We had one lady on here 2 years ago. She actually had audio recording and some video of the nurse with the syringe in her hand going, your mother's going to die tonight. Your mother's going to die tonight. And after she was forced to leave, they gave her that final shot called the kill shot. And she was dead by morning. And but actually taunting the family, your mother's gonna die tonight. These are some sick people, and they are sick people. These to me are no different than, like I say, serial killers that go out on the street and indiscriminately kill. Only these people are doing it under the protection of the government. And what frightens me, Therese, is to think that there are so many people out there that are either sociopathic at the very least, if not psychopathic, and lack any empathy, any sympathy, apparently this sense of power over someone else's life is just too great, that they can't, they actually enjoy what they are doing. And this comes across many times that they, you know, the crap they go through, the crap they tell the patient, the crap they tell the families, and they know full well they're in the process of murdering that person. And they stand there and look you right in the face. I just don't know how you do that. And then go home, like I say, like nothing happened, lay down, go to sleep, go back to work the next day. You need to be in a jail cell.
Totally crucified. Look what they did to Jesus, and what did he do? Nothing. These people deserve worse. I'd like to offer my services as a public guardian for these people that murdered my mum. Man,
yeah.
See how they would like it. We saw my mum getting tortured for 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
Yep. Wow.
Well, we just have to do something. Like, it's just haunting. Can't believe we lost our poor mother. Yep. She was innocent. She did nothing to these people. Nothing. And, you know, at times, like when I was staying with her, you know, the way they, like, changed her and stuff, tossed her around, the poor woman would be screaming. It's like, they treat you like just a piece of bloody sack of potatoes. Like, you are nothing. You mean nothing. The sooner you die, the better. That's why they didn't want me in the room anymore. And they did what you said to me at the end of it. We don't want you in there. I said, no, I'm not going. Well, we're not going to, you know, even the doctor did this to me a couple of times. No, you have to leave the room. I said, why do you have to leave the room? What are you doing to her? What are you giving her? You know, and they're getting away with it. This is the thing that's making me so angry. They're getting away with it. Look, we have to do something. And these government entities, throw all these bastards out of here. Maybe, you know, choose real people that are actually working for humans, for all of us, not people that are sitting behind the desk getting all this money and giving out their authority. Yeah, go kill that other pensioner and so forth. This is bullshit. The whole world is just, it's dying. They're killing us.
Yeah, it is. Well, it is, and you mentioned pensioners. here at Social Security, and we invested in this all of our working lifetime. This was an insurance policy. And the federal government here has stolen $4 trillion from social, from our retirement funds that we self-funded. They've stolen $4 trillion. They've got no way to pay it back. They're still stealing money from it. So I guess the way to balance the books is to get rid of us. That way you don't have any claimants. But we estimate that hospice here is taking out somewhere around 200 to 250,000 people a year. And that doesn't include what, you know, unnecessary. We've got medical deaths, hospital deaths from hospital-acquired infections, botched surgeries, the wrong medication, the wrong dosage, you know, doctor-caused, hospital-caused deaths run around a quarter of a million a year. My God.
There's nowhere for us to hide.
And
do you know what I mean, Marty?
No.
Where do we go? Where do we go if it's global?
Yes.
That's why we have to take things into our own hands. I mean, we really don't have an alternative in this whole situation.
No.
It's either accept and get them to kill us, or we do something.
Yes. And that's the thing. If we don't get this stopped, this is what's ahead for our children. They're going to do it to us, and then they're going to do it to our children. And this is what I've tried to tell young people that I've talked to that said, well, you know, these old people, they've lived. I said, I don't know who put this stuff in your head. But I said, we funded Social Security. The government doesn't fund it. They just changed it over here, Teresa, to a federal benefit. Ain't nothing federal about it. That was a private insurance program. And but that allows them to take more money out of it. And then they can present it to the public that it is some sort of welfare system that was unearned. And but this whole system, and it's global. You are absolutely right. It's global. We've heard from so many people in so many different countries. They are doing the same, and they are getting rid of the elderly. They are getting rid of the disabled. They are getting rid of people who are, chronically ill, have chronic illnesses. If you take chemotherapy and radiation, over 20 years, in just in this country, over 20 years, chemotherapy and radiation has killed 22 million people. And
you know, just off the subject, so to speak, because you mentioned the radiation thing. I believe, and I know a lot of people believe deep down that there is a cure for cancer, and they're just holding it back. Do you believe that?
Right.
I really do.
Yes, I do too. And I've always thought the way people got cancer, it acted like a virus. And I don't have any medical training. I have no science background. But I thought there's something happening. This has got to be a virus. And now they're talking about how it acts like a virus. And certain, like simian virus 40, that was in the polio vaccine, the Salk and Sabin polio vaccines, that they know cause, it doesn't cause the apes any problem. But when you inject it into humans, which is how they made that vaccine cell line, was to microphage ground up lungs of these apes. And they grew the cell line in that and developed the vaccine from it. Well, simian virus, this is called a wild virus, is in that vaccine. And all vaccines are these wild viruses from the animals that they used. And they don't affect the animal, but they affect you. And simian virus 40 causes cancer. And here, they thank God we never got the polio vaccine, but the doctor who discovered this, they murdered her. But Salk and Sabin both testified in front of the Senate that, yes, it was right, that virus was in there, and it did. And what this doctor they murdered said was, she said, 40, 50 years from now, you're going to see an epidemic of soft tissue cancers in people who took this vaccine, and this is exactly what we've got. But I think it. Yeah. I think it's viral too. I think it's environmental, from exposure to things that you should never breathe in or come in contact with. But I do think at the core it's a virus, and I think they've known it all along. And they don't treat the virus, and they kill the body. And I think you're right. They've had a cure. they've known how to fix this for a long time. And there's too much money.
Everything's about money, you know.
Yes.
But really, just one thing that really upsets me, and I'm sure it upset a lot of people, like, you know, there's elderly out there that live even up to 108 or whatever it is, and they're still fine. But when a parent dies and say they're in their 90s or whatever it is, some people are so damn ignorant, and I hate hearing this. Oh, they've lived their life. They're fine. But, okay, I can understand if someone's dying from an illness or something, but not if you end their life because they're old, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're ending people's lives because they're old and they cost them too much money. So that's just not good enough.
That's what I'm saying. They can't squeeze anything else out of them. They can't use it. We are all treated like commodities. We are bought, sold, and traded. And every government considers us human resources, human capital.
Yeah.
You see it in legislation. You see it in treaties. You see it in that. We are commodities. And this is how they treat us. They buy, sell, and trade us. And when they can't get anything else out of us, they kill us. And that's the way it is. And
you know, someone said to me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. No, someone said to me, someone told me, that apparently, I think is it Japan or China where they sell the dead bodies? Is that true?
Yeah.
That's what, oh my goodness, that's horrible.
There's a lot going on. Vaccines. For God's sake, I don't vaccinate. What, my whole family does not vaccinate. There's just a lot that goes on, and it's all tied to money. It's all tied to treating us as if we are commodities. And hang on a second. Here, we got a caller, and I think I know who this is. Hi, this is Marty.
Oh, hi, Marty. It's Christine from Melbourne. How are you?
Hey. Good. How you doing?
How you going? Listening to Therese, and it's been we were watching Therese's story live, and it's horrible to see what she's gone through and what she has experienced, but it's very common, in particular with that hospital. I can't tell you how many people have not named that particular hospital and what is going on. False allegations against people, false allegations against loved ones, stopping loved ones. We have at the moment, even here in Victoria, we have a situation where an aged care facility is locking out a son from visiting his father. And it is disgusting what is happening in Australia. It is, really is. Mm-hmm. They are murdering us. It is what Therese has gone through, what her family's gone through, other people. These people, you know, it's not just a one-off. This is a global, a nationwide culling. And the more we speak out about what is happening, and it's not just, it's white-collar crime, I call it, because I'm seeing white-collar professionals engaging in this. This is almost them and us. In Australia, there seems to be a two-set tier in terms of laws. There's the law for us that we have to follow like slaves, and then there's a law for these select professionals, social workers, nurses, doctors. I came up across guardians. I came up across a three-year tribunal process watching what I saw. Tick, tick, evidence, willful blindness, it's called. They are willfully blind to the crimes that they're committing. And it's almost a gaslighting effect. They're looking at you like you're doing something wrong. My sister was a carer for 40 years. Well, that was ignored. That was completely ignored by Therese. She looked after, you know, her mum. Okay, we're talking about now, no surnames, no names will be mentioned, okay, but this is what's happening. Now, you've got all this happening, and it's happening in every hospital nationwide, and we can't stop these people because they're licensed, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, to do it. And that's why they're confident. When you heard Therese's story, when you heard these stories, you feel naturally, I'm going to report you. I have caught you. What are you doing? I was at a party on the weekend, and the first comment I heard from, you know, our guests, they can't do that. We have laws in this country. They can't do that. Mm. I'm going to sue. I'm going to court. When you actually go there and you deal with these people, they all know, and they all turn a blind eye. I mean, I witnessed lawyers and tribunal members destroy evidence, and they were looking at me like, well, what are you going to do about it? Okay, this is what is actually happening, and that's what happens at this hospital. They mock you in front of you. They mock this family. Their mother was murdered, okay, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
That's how, with the evidence I've seen and what I have witnessed from others, people are being murdered, okay? And they're being murdered. It's a soft kill. It's not like what happened in Nazi Germany. And I spoke to a gentleman on the weekend, a Holocaust survivor, who actually called the police today on an aged care facility in Melbourne for abusing him. And he's contacted us, and his son has contacted us, and he called them Nazis. And this is a Holocaust survivor. How is this happening in Australia, where people fled this type of tyranny, yet it's happening again?
Yes.
Because they pick different regions. Australia is a blanket for these people. They've come here and they've started again. And it's not just Australia. Japan, the Canada has contacted
the
us
US.
And yourself, the US, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the southern parts of Europe, you're pretty risky to try this because you're really going to come across some very vigilantes down there. But up north, okay, we're hearing more and more because there seems to be this culture that you've lived a long life. You've lived a life. You should, you know, you're my, and it's not about that.
Yes.
They're trying to condition us to kill our parents, to kill our vulnerable siblings, our children, if they're vulnerable, and we have to stop this because these people are criminals.
They're like a cult, aren't they, really? It's
they
like
are,
a cult.
They are. They are a cult.
Well,
they're a killing cult.
Yeah, they are, and this is exactly what my comparison, this is what we learned from Germany, is you don't want to go out there and start firing bullets and murdering people wholesale. We make it sound soft and fuzzy. We make it sound like we're doing you a favor. We bring it in incrementally so you get conditioned to it. You get used to hearing about it, and you think, well, this is normal. This is okay. At least they didn't, said at the beginning that, it said before, I told one hospice nurse, wouldn't this just be much more merciful if you went in there and put a 38 to their head? But see, they're conditioning the public, and they're incrementally passing these laws. I was waiting for the churches to raise up and scream bloody murder when they passed laws in Connecticut and Wyoming making it okay to starve. Just think about this, to starve people with dementia and mental illness to death. Starve, think about this, starve them to death. And these churches set fire. They're all pro-life. But when you touch them, when you go to them with this topic, they're murdering people. They're murdering people. They're murdering members of your congregation. Oh, we can't get in that. That's political. No, it isn't. That's humanitarian. That was your church member. Why aren't you backing them up? Why aren't you trying to save them? But they won't get in it. But we're passing these laws incrementally, and they're conditioning the public, see, so that they're not so shocked when the reality of this comes out. What both of you have spoken about here is things that if you had done any part of these things to your parent or your family member, you would have been, if you weren't executed, they'd have jailed you for so long you'd wish they would have. And yet they are doing it every single day, many times a day. And you couldn't get away in the private sector, in a home setting, with treating these people the way that they treat them and doing to them what they do. You could not intentionally cause someone's death and then get up and go about your life the next day and maybe go kill somebody else. This is,
yes.
You're right. There's two sets of laws. Two sets of laws.
There are. There are. There
yep.
are. And then it's quite scary because I have been receiving every day, people laugh because I receive calls every day, help me or help us or notify this. And when I received a call last week from an elderly person frightened by this facility, it disturbed me. And he's now in hospital apparently, and the son is next to him, and the son has been banned from this facility. Then I received a person actually came and met me. He wanted to meet me. His arm was broken by police.
Oh my God.
His shoulder was broken by police
God.
Because he was looking after his mother. This gentleman is 69 years of age. He reported abuse in the aged care facility, same aged care facility, by the way, and he went to the police. And he was tackled by two police officers, apparently, and his arm and shoulder were broken. How is this happening? Where is our media? Where is anyone? Now, I know there's one and two reporters that are following up on this, and kudos to them, but there seems to be this fear in this country, and there's this legislation that prevents you to name. I can't name our loved one. I can't tell you my story because this is what they're doing. They're working together. These laws are not to protect the vulnerable. They are to protect the abusers. And we've had enough.
Totally.
Our group has had enough. Australians have had enough. We don't want to see our parents, our loved ones, our siblings murdered or our siblings being taken over by these institutions that act independently, but the main beneficiary are the state governments. And that's what people forget in Australia. We're a little bit different. We have, as we age in this country, we have what we deem a generous social benefit program. But that's what they sell to the public on election day. Behind the scenes, the state governments have created the guardianship system. When a social worker or a nurse or a doctor deems your loved one no longer economically viable, this system kicks in and they're all in on it. Okay, and I'm waiting for one group, the Lawyers Institute, to finalise this for me, and I've got them all, okay, and so have others, and we've got all this evidence, and these people should be charged for murder, or investigated at least for murder, racketeering, okay, colluding, okay, and obtaining property by deception. They turn a blind eye to all of this. How do you turn a blind eye to evidence? Because in the law, they can. They can ignore evidence. They can determine matters as they see fit. They do not have to investigate any allegation. And you cannot appeal to a courtroom because you can only appeal on a question of law. And the members have the judicial immunity of a Supreme Court judge. This is not an accident. This is deliberate.
Yes, and no one.
And it's happening every
week. Like here in this state, our 14th Amendment says the law will be applied equally to everyone. That's what it says. So you cannot claim, in my estimation, judicial immunity from anything. You are supposed to be the expert in that room. You are supposed to be the protector of the law. And for them to say, well, you can't sue me because I'm a judge. You can't sue me because I'm a public guardian. I may not can sue the state you work for, and I may not can sue the court itself, but I can sue you civilly for damages for malfeasance of office. How about that? And that's using your position to harm the public. But you're absolutely right. And there I see this dual system in every country I'm working with. Every country has this dual system. If we do it, it's okay. But if you do it, we're going to put you in prison.
Cool.
If we do it, it's an act of mercy. If you do it, you're a cold-blooded murderer.
That's
if we abuse the elderly, you're exaggerating. If mom bumps her head, you were beating her. And we're taking her. You know what I'm saying? I've noticed here, if I I get questionnaires from my insurance company. Have you fallen recently? How many times have you fallen? I don't fill that stuff out. I get questionnaires. Today, I felt like everybody was against me on a scale of 1 to 10. Today, I've had periods of time where I just wished I was dead. Now, I'm not filling this crap out. I go to the doctor's
That's
office
right.
and they'll say, the receptionist will say, oh, we need you to fill out this form, Marty. No. Well, they like to have it on file. No. No, I'm not giving you. Well, I had a doctor say to me, they're going to question me as to why you're not on any medication. Because I don't take medications. And I don't take vaccines. Well, they're going to, you know, I'm going to have to answer questions. They want you to, they don't direct my health care. I do. And, but see, we're losing that right also. And as I mentioned early in the show, we've got the state of Virginia passing a law where if you're in the hospital, you lose all your rights to make any medical decisions. So all done by the hospital. Many hospitals are now using what they call, and I love this, ethics panel. Would it be ethical to keep you alive? No,
yes,
that's not fair
that's
to
right.
everybody else.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Marty,
so
it's not just our parents. It's not just our parents, and we need to be careful here. There is a lady I've spoken to, and she shall remain nameless. Her husband had a stroke. They went to hospital. She has three children. She went to collect her young children. During this process, a social worker decided to make some allegation, okay, against the wife, and it commenced a two-year nightmare. Transcripts going missing, okay, the public trustee telling her, we're going to throw you out of your house, okay, not caring, not paying any mortgage payments, leaving these children homeless effectively, okay, all because a social worker who has vanished, who's not even a social worker apparently, registered, made some out. See, anyone can throw you in this system. When I tell people that you can go to hospital and you might not come out, they look at me like, come on, Steve. No, this is happening. It is real.
Yes.
I've witnessed it. I've seen it. There's this power and you need to employ a certain person in this. Look at Therese, look at her story. Isolated from her mother.
Yes.
Why? Why would you do this?
They wouldn't
because
even
of the psychological damage. The psychological damage. Like I say, if you look on the Human Rights Commission at the UN, which I'm no fan of the UN, their Human Rights Watch, one of the first signs of criminal abuse is psychological torture. And the first thing they do is isolate you. And the effect on the person, especially an elderly person, when you isolate them from the people, from their family, from the people they know love them, from the people they feel safe with, and you don't allow anybody to visit them, and they're either in with strangers or they are in total isolation. We found many people that don't even have so much as a TV or a radio in their room, and you sit there all day. They take their phones, they take their dentures if they have them, they take their glasses, they take their hearing aids. It is psychological torture. It is number one on the torture, human torture. But this is why they do it. The effect it has on the elderly is devastating. In very short order, they start becoming so frightened, they do become paranoid. And they, Chris, you and I have spoken about this. It's called torture-based bonding. And they will torture these people with isolation. And when they do see them, they're saying, you see, I'm the only one here. I'm the only one coming to see you. See, your family really doesn't care about you. The only person you can depend on is me. I'm the only one that cares about you. And if you don't do what I say, things are going to get really bad. And they terrify
them. I don't want to see these people
and they,
behind bars, honestly, Marty.
But
they need to be behind
what
bars.
They do to them. Yes, they do. They need to have the same
damn
thing done to them as they've done to other people. Yep.
Totally agree. It's all about control and terminate. And you know what really gets me is the fact that, like, you know, my mother did not need a public guardian involved, okay? And in Queensland, it's only on a last resort that they bring in a public guardian. We even read this to them. We even told them about it. We even told them at the tribunal. Waste of bloody time. They're all corrupt. They're all in on the same rubbish. Corruption throughout these countries is just phenomenal. You know, and like you said, Chris, too, like, basically, there's two laws, their laws and our laws. If we do anything wrong, oh, my goodness, we're in jail. But these criminals and these high-profile so-and-sos, they do whatever they want to do and they get away with it. How does this happen? How can this continue happening? It's just not good enough. Why are we voting for anybody? We've got to all shut down and say, you know what, stuff all of you. We're not voting for any of you.
Yep.
Honestly, that's the only way it's going to work. We've got to vote for someone who's totally independent, someone, you know, someone who really cares about people. Don't vote for anybody anymore.
Right.
It's rubbish.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
see,
that's my
people here will say, well, if you don't vote, then you don't have a right to complain. My not voting is my complaint. Give me somebody worth voting for. We need a no confidence.
Exactly.
We need a no confidence option. So if nobody gets, let's just say hypothetically, nobody gets at least 45-50% of the vote, nobody takes that office. And somebody said, well, then you'd have an empty seat in the Senate or House. Yippee! We have to get threatened with these government shutdowns. Why, we're going to shut down if we can't reach it. And all it is they're haggling over how much money some corporation they're dealing with is going to get, or how much they're going to spend on the military that they have no business spending. Some dirty deal they got working in the back, and they threaten a government shutdown is looming. Here's what shuts down: the national parks, the museums, and this and that. You know, the veterans. This is the big government shutdown. I consider a government shutdown is let shut down the House and the Senate, make them go without pay.
Good.
And maybe when you come back, you can do your job. See, it's the same method of operation no matter where you go. And for some reason, and maybe one of the two of you can explain this to me, the people that are committing these crimes, and these are crimes against humanity, why are they, or why do they think they are exempt from this happening to them?
Because they've got the power behind them.
See, these people
are. That's it.
Yeah. But see, you know, at some point, you also become ill. You also become old. What makes them think they are exempt from this same thing happening? And I keep reading through laws and everything else. It's like Obamacare here. That is a disaster. It's an absolute screaming disaster. But Congress exempted itself in violation of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. Exempted itself from that legislation, and their families, and their staff, and their families, and a bunch of their really wealthy friends. We pay 75 cents of every dollar they are charged for Golden Fleece health insurance, which is 1,000 times better than you or I would ever see. We're paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
What makes these people, like these guardians and these judges, think at some point somebody's going to look at me and decide I've collected millions of dollars of other people's money by doing this, and they get guardianized? What makes them think they're exempt from this? And I'm wondering if there isn't laws somewhere or some provision somewhere, something that says, you know, if you ever were, you're immune, you can't go, you can't be guardianized, blah, blah, blah. There, I know if it isn't out there, they're going to come up with it. But I keep telling people
it's
the best thing to do.
It's a club, Marnie. What they think,
the
top of the top are going to make the money and they will walk away. History has shown that the real elites, they just transfer the money to the Cayman Islands. Like $80 million has been transferred and $100 million has been transferred. We've been watching that for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
The public purse in Australia, we have bushfires here, as you're aware. We're burning.
Yeah.
And all this money is being transferred overseas. We have no money to fund our firefighters here, loyal, honest, hard, because Australia is a great place. The people in the country is great. Our institutions are beyond help. That's the difference.
Yes.
And
it's like
a
that
comedian,
everywhere.
This is what. This is the funniest thing. A comedian just put a call out and said, "Oh, let's chip in and you know, toss some money to our firefighters." $40 million later, she's collected. Because I would rather trust a comedian, and I donated there as well. I would rather trust her than I would trust those. I don't know. I shouldn't say this, but those people in Canberra, those people that we elect, they're not working for us. They're not working for us. They're working for themselves.
No.
But I'll tell you what history has shown. The average, there will be an uprising of some sort. Even though Australia is quiet, there's apathy here. But there will be an uprising. Mm-hmm. Hunger tends to do that. And that middle management, they're in trouble because the elite won't be here, but they'll be here, okay? And unfortunately, and I'm not predicting, but I've looked at history. Look what's happening in France. Look what's happening at the moment worldwide. There will be an uprising. Australians are fed up. You ask anyone, they're fed up. They know something's wrong, and they're sitting there hoping, I hope it doesn't happen to me. But at one point, we have to say, it will. Because it's ticking off.
Yes.
They're ticking off the boxes one by one. And you discussed about religion. I have had Catholic people come to me from Catholic aged care centres. I've had Greek Orthodox. I've had Anglican.
Yep.
I've recently had the Jewish community. I have spoken to members of the Jewish community who are frightened about what's going on. They see the signs.
Mm-hmm.
They know. It's happening again. Now, we've of ethnic background, I'm of Greek background, we've lived through this in the past, okay? We see these signs, and it's happening in Australia. And the problem in Australia is these institutions have got the law at the moment behind them, okay? But there's a natural law. Mia told me, we were speaking about this, there are natural laws. We have the right to look after our parents. We have the right to look after our vulnerable family members or support if you don't have family. We have that right. They're removing that right from us so they can kill people.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Okay? And they
and
are lying and they cheat and they, in front of me, I witness them rip up wills, powers of attorney, discard it like it means nothing. They call it a kangaroo court. I don't even call it that. I call it, so it's just criminal what's happening. And then I've actually put in an application to the Law Institute here to explain to me what I witnessed. 16 months later, silence. Why silence? Why is there silence?
Yeah.
What I've witnessed and what others have witnessed. Why can't people say, my mother was murdered. I would like an investigation. Silence. That's all you get.
They're scared of being sued. They're scared of being locked up. Look, I've heard, and I'm sure you guys have as well, I've heard of people like having the police going after them and making up bullshit so they can lock them up and so they can shut them up. That's what the law is sometimes. It's a total ass and so wrong. That's what I mean. That's why you have to be careful what you say, what you do and everything. So no matter what rights that you have, they mean nothing if the wrong person is after you. That's it.
Be careful. There is a fixation act, and this is what I will warn you. We have seen people charged. We have seen people that they use the following, so be very careful. Using a carriage to menace. So if you use the phone or Facebook or anything, you're using a carriage to menace. They then will target you for defamation in Australia. So if you name a name, now you can name an institution. I've got a top lawyer that's actually advised me what I can and can't say. You can name pretty much institutions, and if you've got the evidence, that's fine. And whatever I say, I can prove. But if you name a person, they will put you through a process, and they will just drag you through hell in a legal process and
yes.
delay and delay. They will use fixation laws. They'll say, you're fixated, Marty. You are fixated. We believe you're fixated. Come over here and let's inject you with some stuff to calm you down. And
yes.
this is how they work.
Yeah.
Then they will sue you for slander. They do. These are the little tactics they use. We've had enough of that. We're not frightened. I actually had a positive experience with the police because the copper that I dealt with, he actually hated lawyers. So he said, I want to nab them. He was actually quite good. But I'm hearing other stories at other stations, you know, jumping a 69-year-old man and breaking his shoulder.
Yeah.
What is going on here? So this is,
we've got about 4.5 minutes left here. This has just been a rocking good show. And I've got several messages here from people here in the States to you that they back you totally. Everybody is sending good thoughts and prayers about the fires, and they're watching that. They are I can't believe the response here I'm getting. They want you to know that we're with you and that we can win this. And but we're watching very closely the fires. I saw the map of the fire, and if you look at that map of where those fires are taking place, they're trying to drive people inland to population centers. They are burning your coastline is what they're doing. They did the same thing here, California. They damn near burned to the ground over the last 3 years. And just a lot of positive messages. I can't possibly get through all of these to let you all know we're here with you. We'll stand up with you. We will defend you. We're here. You're not in this alone. And we'll keep this front and center. If it's at all possible, I know sometimes you have to draw back because of what's happening. But the more regularly we can do these shows, I think the better off we'll all be.
Yep.
Yeah. And I know that you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Sorry, Marty. You've been wonderful, honestly.
That's
thank
all right.
you. And Chris as well.
Yes. But we'll reserve Monday nights for you as always. And but the more people that speak out, the better off we're going to be. I cannot believe the response I have gotten to this show, and all of it is just well wishing and offered support. And I don't think people are near as apathetic as they used to be, or in such a state of denial. Oh, this couldn't possibly happen. They're finding out it can happen at any time to anybody at the drop of a hat. And what you are launched into is a nightmare that I just don't think you ever fully recover from. So with all that said, girls, we got about 2 minutes. Do you have anything in closing that you would like to say?
Thank you. God bless you all. And I really appreciate your time, Marty. And thank you, Chris, with everything as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Chris, thank you for calling in, too. I appreciate that. And
Thank you.
But
we'll catch up again.
Yes. And like I say, let's keep these shows as regular as possible. I understand things happen over there and you get threatened to the point you have to kind of lay low for a bit. But whenever you're ready, we're ready here. Okay?
The truth will prevail eventually, Marty. The truth will prevail.
Yes. Yes. I want to thank everybody for tuning in this evening. We just had a banging good audience. And thank you, everybody who messaged. I haven't gotten to you all. There's just tons of them on here. And the people were hitting me on the cell, too. And we've got to pull together on this. We've got to pull together. I know there's people in this, both there in Australia and here in the States, that seem to be in it for different reasons. Stay focused on what you're doing and what our end goal is. Working together, we can get this done. We can get this stopped. I truly believe that. So, and also thank you to Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit to help coordinate all of these shows. And we will be speaking about you again this year at the summit. So if you can make it over here for that, we'd love that. But anyway, again, to all our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. It was great to see all of you on there and get all of those messages. It was really great. I like that kind of response. And we will be back Wednesday night with the show on hospice with Marcia. And then Thursday night, the regular whistleblower show. And then Friday, I don't know what Cuz is doing. And hopefully Tanya will be back Sunday night. But anyway, everybody, thank you and good night.
Thank you.